Unit 5. The Southwest. The Southwest region is a land of wide open spaces. It is a land of cattle ranches and dusty trails. However, the Southwest also has large cities, busy highways, and rapidly growing industries. Much of the Southwest is dry land or desert, yet the Southwest has many other kinds of land. Its geography is not the same from place to place. Under the region's sunny skies are thick pine forests and mountains capped with snow. There are also humid plains, fertile river valleys, and rocky canyons. Unit themes: commonality and diversity, continuity and change, individualism and interdependence. Unit project: make a 3D timeline. Complete this project as you study Unit 5. Choose four important events discussed in the unit to show on a three-dimensional timeline. Take notes on when and where each event took place, who was there, and why the event is important to the Southwest's history. You can use these notes when you are ready to build your timeline. Unit 5 Preview: The Southwest. Set the scene with literature.
Estevan, from Black Heroes of the Wild West, by Ruth Pels, illustrated by Wayne Still.
The first Europeans to explore the Southwest came from Spain. They were looking for gold. An old Spanish legend told about seven lost cities, cities of gold. For many years, people in Mexico had heard stories about seven great cities that lay to the north. Could those be the seven lost cities? Spanish leaders decided to find out.
The year was 1539. A large group of people was walking across the Arizona desert. In the lead was a tall, powerful black man named Estevan. He wore turquoise and gold jewelry and brightly colored feathers. Two sleek greyhounds trotted beside him, and as many as 300 Indians followed behind. They all were headed north. They were searching for seven cities, seven wonderful cities that legends had told them about. Estevan did not live to finish his journey, but this man, who was searching for a legend, became a legend himself. It is not hard to understand why. His life was as full of adventures as any hero you may read about. These adventures began in 1527. In that year, Estevan, who was born in Africa, was brought to America as a slave. He and his Spanish master were bound for Florida. They were to help explore that area for the King of Spain. For weeks, they marched with 300 other men through thick jungles and terrible swamps. The weather was hot and steamy. The men had little food. Mosquitoes, poisonous snakes, and deadly diseases were everywhere. In some places, Indians attacked the travelers. Many men died. The others decided to build wooden rafts and float out to sea. They would try to sail to Spanish settlements in Mexico. They didn't make it. When they were near the present border of Texas and Louisiana, a terrible storm came up. All the rafts were wrecked or lost. Estevan and the other survivors were captured. They were made to work for the Indian tribes nearby. They remained with their captors for more than 5 years. Life was so hard that soon only four were left alive: Estevan, his master, and two other Spaniards. They lived with different tribes, but they all thought about how they might join together and escape. At last, they had their chance. Each autumn, the tribes gathered to harvest a kind of wild fruit called prickly pears. On the night of the full moon, the four men crept away to a planned meeting place. They were free. Now, The most amazing adventure of all began. Here they were, all alone on the Texas plain. They had no maps, of course, no food, no tools, and no shelter. They hoped to reach the closest Spanish settlement, but they did not even know where it was. All they had was their experience. In years of living with the Indians, they had learned much about their way of life. They had learned how to survive. Estevan, who had a special talent for this, had learned several Indian languages. All of this would be very important to the travelers. Hurrying to go as far as they could before winter began, the men headed west. They soon arrived at a village of friendly Indians. Some members of the village approached them and said, "We have heard that you are medicine men. Will you please try to cure our sick?" The four travelers knew only a little about healing. Still, they had seen Indian medicine men at work before. They decided they must try. Amazingly, they were able to help many people get well. News of their successes traveled from tribe to tribe. As the men continued their journey, they received a warm welcome from other Indian villages along the way. In each place, Estevan spoke with the people. He asked them about the lands and villages nearby. He asked about the best trails to follow. He helped the Spanish learn about lands and people that no one other than the native people had ever seen before. On and on they continued, over deserts and mountains, through green valleys and back into deserts. They walked for more than a year and more than 1,000 miles. Finally, one day in March 1536, they found what they had been seeking. They met a group of Spanish soldiers. Their journey had ended.
Estevan's full name was Estevanico. He was also called Esteban. His early travels across the Southwest helped prepare him to guide the people who were searching for the seven lost cities. Although the seven cities were never found, other explorers continued to search for them. Chapter 10, A Changing Landscape. These hills have caught the lightning in its flight, caught colors from the skies of day and night, and shine with shattered stars and suns. They hold dyed yellow, red and purple, blue and gold. From the poem, The Painted Hills of Arizona, by Edwin Curran. Lesson 1. Focus. How can the physical features of a region change from place to place? Main idea. Read this lesson to compare and contrast the different landforms, climates, and resources in the Southwest. Vocabulary. Mesa. Rain shadow. The land and its resources. In 1540, the Spanish explorer Francisco Vázquez de Coronado left Mexico and began a long search for the seven cities of gold. With him were more than 300 Spaniards, several Africans, and more than 1,000 American Indians. Coronado spent more than 2 years exploring the Southwest. There were no seven cities of gold, but Coronado learned much about this amazing region. A region of variety. Different places in the Southwest have very different climates and landforms. In the western part of the region, the land is mostly dry. When Coronado and his followers reached this area of present-day Arizona, they could find little food or water. With their supplies running low, the members of the group turned northeast. They went into present-day New Mexico. There they could see the tall, snow-capped Rocky Mountains in the distance. The group spent the winter camped beside the Rio Grande. In the spring, Coronado led the group through what is today the states of Texas and Oklahoma. Again, the land changed. "There is nowhere a stone, a hill, a tree, or a bush," wrote one member of the group. Many fellows were lost at this time who went out hunting, not knowing how to get back to where they started from. Everywhere the explorers looked, the land was the same. It was a flat, grass-covered plain with few trees. Disappointed and without any gold, Coronado and his group returned to Mexico. Had Coronado traveled farther to the east, he would have seen the land change again. In eastern Oklahoma and Texas, the land is mostly hilly and the climate is wet enough for trees to grow. Southeastern Oklahoma even has low mountains. The Southwest has many landforms. The elevation of the land, however, generally rises from east to west. Going from east to west, the climate also gets drier. Review: how do land elevation and climate in the Southwest change from east to west? A region of plains. The lowest lands in the Southwest are along the Texas Gulf Coast. They are part of the coastal plain. The climate is usually warm and moist, and the soil is fertile. Low barrier islands lie offshore. Inland from the coast are pine and hardwood forests. Workers cut down the trees to make lumber and paper products. In nearby fields, farmers grow wheat, rice, and other grain crops. They also grow cotton. More cotton is raised in Texas than in any other state. In the southern part of the coastal plain, near where the Rio Grande flows into the Gulf of Mexico, the weather is warm most of the year. All year, farmers there can grow many kinds of vegetables and fruits. Other large plains lie northwest of the coastal plain. Part of the central plains stretch south through central Oklahoma and into Texas. This part of the Southwest has many farms and ranches. Low hills separate the coastal plain from the Southwest's third major plains region, the Great Plains. The Great Plains cover parts of Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico. As the Great Plains stretch west to the Rocky Mountains, the land gets higher. In some places, it is more than 5,000 feet, 1,524 meters above sea level. Because the land is so high, this part of the Great Plains is sometimes called the High Plains. Cattle and sheep graze on the short grasses that grow on the High Plains. This area has some of the world's best land for raising cattle. It helps make Texas the country's leading cattle-producing state. Although beef cattle are their largest source of income, farmers on the High Plains also grow such crops as wheat, grain sorghum, and cotton. Review: which three major plains regions are found in the Southwest? Mountains and plateaus. The highest parts of the Southwest are the Rocky Mountains and the Colorado Plateau. The Rocky Mountains stretch north from New Mexico through Canada and into Alaska. The Colorado Plateau begins at the western edge of the Rocky Mountains. It covers much of northern New Mexico and Arizona. The land on this huge high plateau is mostly flat, but there are steep bluffs and some mountains. About 100 years ago, a pioneer and miner named John Hance started the first services for tourists in the area. When a visitor asked him why his index finger was missing, Hance said, "I plumb wore it off pointing at the scenery." Hance liked to tell this tall tale. Still, like many other tall tales, his was about something real. The Colorado Plateau is famous for its landforms. There are wide valleys, sharp cliffs, and broad mesas. A mesa is a hill or small plateau with a flat top and steep sides. Mesa is the Spanish word for table. The landforms on the Colorado Plateau have been slowly shaped over millions of years. They were formed mainly by water erosion. The Colorado River and its tributaries have cut many beautiful canyons into the land. The largest of these is the Grand Canyon. In other places, running water has formed rocks into strange shapes. In Monument Valley, along the Arizona-Utah border, large pointed rocks rise from the desert floor. Review: what shape the landforms on the Colorado Plateau? Deserts. Much of the Colorado Plateau receives only 10 to 20 inches, 25 to 51 centimeters of rain each year. Farther south and west, however, the land is even drier. Most places there get less than 10 inches, 25 centimeters of rain a year. This land is desert. Most desert areas in the Southwest formed because of the mountains far to the west. Those mountains keep moist air from reaching the deserts. When clouds of moist air from the Pacific Ocean blow against the mountains, the wind pushes the clouds up one side of the mountains. As the clouds rise, the air becomes cooler. Cool air cannot hold as much moisture as warm air. As a result, the clouds drop most of their rain or snow on that side of the mountains. By the time the air reaches the other side of the mountains, little moisture remains in it. Places on the other side of the mountains receive little precipitation. They lie in the rain shadow, or the drier side of the mountains. Two large deserts in the southwest are the Sonoran Desert and the Chihuahuan Desert. The Sonoran Desert covers parts of both Arizona and California. The Chihuahuan Desert lies in New Mexico and western Texas. Both deserts stretch south into Mexico. Another desert in the southwest is the Painted Desert in northern Arizona. One early visitor wrote that this desert was paved with rainbows, fallen to earth and turned to stone. The light on the desert and the minerals in the soil combine to paint the land in bands of bright colors. As sunlight hits the rocks, they shine blue, red, yellow, green, and purple. Many interesting plants and animals live in the deserts of the southwest. Each plant or animal has developed ways to live in the dry, hot environment. One well-known desert plant is the cactus. The cactus plant stores water in its thick stem. When the land is dry, the cactus lives on the stored water. Sharp spines keep most animals from eating the plant. More than 1,000 kinds of cactuses grow in deserts in the United States. About 50 of them grow in the Sonoran Desert. One of these is the giant saguaro cactus. A saguaro can grow to a height of 60 feet, 18 meters, and can weigh as much as 10 tons. More than 3/4 of a saguaro's weight comes from the water it stores. Review. How can mountains cause deserts to form? Geography. The Petrified Forest. A strange forest is found in Arizona's Painted Desert. The trees in this forest are all dead, and they lie flat on the ground. They are petrified. This means their wood has been replaced by stone. These large trees were buried in mud, sand, or ash millions of years ago. Water carried minerals into the buried trees. The minerals filled the wood cells as the cells decayed, so the trees became stone. Minerals and fuels. Deserts are full of interesting plants and animals. They are also full of valuable minerals. Mines in both Arizona and New Mexico produce silver and copper. Arizona alone produces about 2/3 of the copper mined in the United States. Potash, another mineral mined in the Southwest, is used to make fertilizers. All the states in the Southwest are rich in the minerals and fuels that supply energy. In fact, many of the resources used to produce energy in the United States come from the Southwest. Uranium is a mineral used as a fuel for nuclear power plants. It is mined in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. Coal is also mined in Texas. Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico are all leading producers of petroleum and natural gas. Texas produces more natural gas than any other state. Review. Where do many of the energy resources used in the United States come from? Lesson 1 review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. How is the climate in eastern Texas different from the climate in western Arizona? 2. Recall the main idea. How are the landforms, climates, and natural resources of states in the Southwest region alike? How are they different? Think critically. 3. Link to you. What are some ways in which you or someone you know uses the natural resources of the Southwest? 4. Personally speaking, which part of the Southwest would you most like to visit or live in? Give reasons for your answer. Show what you know. Writing activity. Choose one kind of landform in the Southwest. Then write a poem or song that describes the land, climate, and resources found there. Share your poem or song with a classmate, or read it aloud to the whole class. Lesson 2. Focus. How do past events continue to affect a region today? Main idea. As you read this lesson, look for Indian, Spanish, and Mexican ways from the past that live on in the Southwest today. Vocabulary. Adobe. Mission. Society. Reservation. The Southwest long ago. As Coronado traveled across the Southwest, he met groups of American Indians. They and their ancestors had been living in the Southwest for thousands of years. However, other people would soon bring many changes to the region. Early peoples of the Southwest. Among the sandstone cliffs of the Southwest are the deserted towns of the Anasazi, the ancient ones. The Anasazi built their towns near what is today called the Four Corners. That is where Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and Utah meet. The Anasazi built their homes on the mesas, on the canyon floors, and in the canyon walls. Their homes were like apartment buildings, with rooms built on top of other rooms. The Anasazi were farmers. However, a long drought made it impossible for them to grow enough food, so they left their homes to settle in other parts of the Southwest. Many settled in the Rio Grande Valley in present-day New Mexico. They were probably the ancestors of the Pueblo Indians who live there today. The early Pueblos lived in villages that the Spanish called pueblos. Pueblo is Spanish for village. Large pueblos were 5 or 6 stories high and had more than 800 rooms. All the buildings in a pueblo were connected, but they had no doors on the ground floor. To get inside, the pueblos had to climb up ladders. Then, whenever their enemies came near, the pueblos just pulled up the ladders. Few trees grow in the area's dry climate, so the pueblos built their villages out of stone or adobe. Adobe is sun-dried clay brick. Thick adobe walls kept pueblo buildings warm in winter and cool in summer. Near their villages, the pueblos grew cotton, squash, beans, and corn. The corn they grew was different from the corn that farmers grow today. It had very long roots that could reach deep into the soil for water. The pueblos planted seeds deep in the ground where the soil was wetter. They also dug ditches from the Rio Grande to irrigate their fields. Review. Why did the pueblos use stone or adobe to build their villages? Santa Fe. Many groups of Indians lived in the Southwest. Spain, however, claimed all the land. The Spanish called the entire area New Mexico. By 1610, Spanish settlers were busy building the city of Santa Fe. Santa Fe was founded between the Pecos River and the Rio Grande. It was built to be the capital of Spanish New Mexico. Today, Santa Fe is the capital of the state of New Mexico. It is the oldest capital city in the United States. Near Santa Fe and in many other parts of the Southwest were missions. A mission was a settlement started by Catholic priests, where they taught Native Americans about Christianity. Besides their religion, the priests brought Spanish customs and the Spanish language to the Southwest. They also brought fruit trees, cattle, sheep, and horses. Most missions had a church, a school, and workshops. Often there was a wall around the mission. Outside were fields where the Indians raised crops and livestock. Most missions also had a fort nearby. Its soldiers kept the mission safe from attack. They also enforced Spanish ways. The Indians did not always welcome the missions. Often the Indians were made to work at the missions against their will. Over time, the missions became the center of Spanish society. A society is a group of people who have many things in common. After missions were built, colonists settled on nearby lands. Farms, ranches, and cities grew up around the missions. Review. Why was Santa Fe built? Struggles for independence. Spain could not hold on to its land in North America. In 1821, Mexico fought a war against Spain and won its independence. Mexico took over all the Spanish lands in the Southwest. Then, even more people settled in the Southwest, especially in Texas. Some of those new settlers were immigrants from Europe. Others were from the United States. At first, the Mexican government welcomed settlers from the United States. By 1835, however, nearly 28,000 Americans were living in Texas. There were so many that the Mexican government became worried that it would lose control of Texas. It tried to stop any more Americans from moving to Texas. It made the Americans who were already there obey Mexican laws and pay more taxes. Many people in Texas did not like the new Mexican laws. They decided to break away from Mexico and start their own country. To stop them, Mexican leaders sent about 5,000 soldiers into Texas. In the city of San Antonio, fewer than 200 Texans went to an old mission called the Alamo and turned it into a fort. Thousands of soldiers from the Mexican army attacked the Alamo. For nearly 2 weeks, the Texans inside the Alamo fought the Mexican army. When the battle was over, however, all the men in the Alamo were dead. The news of the bravery at the Alamo spread across Texas. Soon other Texans joined the fight against Mexico. Their leader was Sam Houston. Under the battle cry, "Remember the Alamo," the Texans defeated the Mexican army in 1836. Texas became an independent country. Then, in 1845, Texas became a part of the United States. Review. Why did people in Texas decide to break away from Mexico? The land rush. The areas that now make up Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas were settled slowly over many years. One part of Oklahoma, however, was settled in a day. For many years, the federal government allowed only Indians to live on the land that is today Oklahoma. In the late 1800s, however, the government decided that almost 2 million acres of land in Indian Territory, as it was called, would be open to new settlement. Beginning at noon on April 22, 1889, land was to be given away to anyone willing to live on it for 5 years. The first person to reach and claim each 160-acre piece of land would receive it. On the morning of April 22nd, between 50,000 and 100,000 men and women waited at the starting line. At exactly 12 o'clock, the starting signal was given. The rush for land was on. People raced to get the land they wanted. Some people rode away on horses. Some rode in covered wagons. Some even ran. All that day, people rushed to claim good land. In just a few hours, every inch of land was taken. What most settlers did not know, however, was that some people had not waited for the race to begin. The night before, they had slipped across the starting line and claimed land early. The people who sneaked onto the land ahead of time were called Sooners. This earned Oklahoma the nickname Sooner State. Review. Why did so many people settle in Oklahoma at the same time? People of the Southwest. Today, the states of the Southwest have a mix of people and cultures. Mexico, for example, has added much to the region's heritage. More than half the people of some cities in the Southwest trace their roots to Mexico. In all parts of the Southwest are buildings built by settlers from Mexico. Many modern buildings in the Southwest have also been built using early Spanish and Indian building styles. Like the old missions, they have flat roofs and thick adobe walls. More American Indians live in the Southwest than in any other region of the United States. Many live and work in cities and towns in the Southwest. Others live on reservations. A reservation is land set aside by the government for use by Indians. On reservations, Indians govern themselves. In the state of Arizona alone, more than 200,000 Indians live on reservations. The Navajo Reservation is the largest in the United States. It lies in Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. Like other Americans, Indians on reservations farm and run businesses. They also face many of the same problems that other Americans face. They try to keep their ancient arts and customs alive, too. They make traditional goods, such as weavings, silver and turquoise jewelry, and pottery. Their children learn Indian languages as well as English in school. Review. How do Indians keep their ancient arts and customs alive? Lesson 2 Review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. How were missions important to the settlement of the Southwest? 2. Recall the main idea. What Indian, Spanish, and Mexican ways from the past live on in the Southwest today? Think critically. 3. Link to you. Which Indian groups live nearest to you? Show what you know. Art activity. Find pictures of early Indian, Spanish, and Mexican clothing, buildings, and crafts in the Southwest. Use your textbook as well as encyclopedias, library books, and the Internet. Then, on a large sheet of paper, draw scenes from early life in the Southwest. Label your mural, "The Southwest Long Ago."